Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now, here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday across the Delaware Valley. And it's a happy day. I gotta tell you, can we have one of these days today where we're just in a good mood? Because I love when this town is happy. Like, it pumps me up. I walk into the Wild Wild all day between yesterday and today. And the Monday, the Victory Monday, it started on the air. We had a blast. And then throughout the course of the day last night in the travels, this morning travels, I dropped the kids off to school, the Wild Wild last night. Did the football practice with the aunt and the Chick-fil-A, all that stuff. And, everybody had the same big smile. Everybody had that just kind of glow about them. Now, look, I'm going to preface it because I don't want to, you know, go completely overboard. And I want to preface it by saying, obviously, you know, it's game one against the Falcons and they're probably not a good team and whatever. You get it. I could just do the qualifier just because. All that said, I just feel good about the present and the future. And that's such a big deal. Like, I don't know, right? Like, when the whole thing goes down and Doug's out and Wentz is out, right? Remember, Doug's out first, and we're going, wow, look, what's going on here? Doug's out? Remember, there was a second meeting, and then Doug was out. And you're going, wow, what does that mean? They're going to go get a coach, and they're going to put together the whole thing to salvage Wentz? And then it was clear that Wentz was out, too. And you're like, wow, all right. And you don't even know what to think. And then, of course, you know, did Sirianni, and you're going, who? You know, the whole thing with him and the young coaching staff with Jonathan Gannon and everything. So you're wondering, and you're going, I don't know. And then there's the news conference, the rock, paper, scissors thing, and, you know, which I love that he makes jokes about it. And then, who knows? And then training camp hits, and it's like, oh, I'm pumped up just for a newness of the season, and I just want to have an open mind. And that was my whole thing, open mind. The worst thing you could do, or the best thing you can do, is just to have the open mind. See, you know, don't judge it. And so you go, all right, well, I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to look at, you know, news conferences and stuff like that. And, you know, let's see what happens. Preseason now, training camp's here. Let's see this thing. And little by little, we started to go, wow, I like the way he's in charge. I like the way Sirianni's in charge. I like the way, you know, he dressed this. And then the first preseason game, you go, you know what? I look very professional. Like a professional outfit. I like this. I like their approach. All right. And you don't really see anything in preseason. You know, he's there. A lot of his kind of the things that he espouses during his news conference, I go, yeah, I like that. I agree with that. I would do that. And I start to really kind of go, you know what? I've got a good feeling about the dude. And then they go out and play the way they did, play so buttoned up, play such small, really good football. The game plan, I can't get, like, really, both sides of the ball, the adjustments on defense. The offensive game plan was awesome. It just was great. I went back and rewatched the game late last night. It was after the Ravens and Raiders game. I was doing something. I put it back on just to see it. And I was like, wow, I mean, I like it. I like it even more because I'm watching it, just letting it wash over me, because without expectations or, you know, any kind of without any knowledge. And wow, man, I really like what he's doing here. I like a lot of the thought process behind it all. And then, you know, we're going to play some of the news conference from yesterday. I mean, the conversation is awesome. Like, we went from rock, paper, scissors to just giving you good insight into the sport. Man, oh, man. I can't believe it. I'm so happy that I think we have a leader. I think we got a smart leader. I heard John and the morning show this morning talking about likability. And I was trying to kind of understand what direction they were going. And yeah, I mean, the fact they won makes them more likable. John said, well, if they go 2-6, are they likable? And it's not about record for me this season. And it'd be nice, you know, maybe, who knows, maybe they are really are a sleeper type of team and can compete for a division. The division does look a little suspect, but I'm not even going there. My only point is, I mean, Jalen Hurts, is there anybody more likable than him? I mean, other than Tyrese Maxey. But I think about new faces that have come in here, and I remember even when I didn't want them, I loved everything he said, right? Like, I didn't want him on the draft. I didn't want them to draft him. But the dude is so exceptionally lovable. I mean, God, there's nothing not to like about Jalen Hurts when it comes to his demeanor, personality, intellect. I mean, and then you just go down the line, you know, like Devontae Smith can just flat out play and is a star. You know, what's not to love about Jordan Mailata? Right? Like, all of a sudden, you start to, you dive in, you can see some personality. And I feel so good. Can I tell you, like, I haven't felt this good. And this is going to be weird. All right? So, they win the Super Bowl, and it was the greatest feeling on earth, right? Because we finally experienced that. And I loved Wentz. And I thought Wentz was going to be, you know, a franchise quarterback the whole nine. However, about the whole offense, like Doug was a likable bloke, right? Like, you know, I'll get a beer with him any day of the week. I would love it. As far as the coach, I just, you know, I always felt the same way, where I was never really in love with his concepts or, you know, his imagination, that sort of thing. And as a team, we're like, are they that good? I mean, they kind of got a little lucky during the road. I just feel like this coaching staff, and then you got some young players, and I feel like it's going back to the Andy, early Andy, when I remember loving that squad. I mean, you know, ultimately they didn't win, but they were a hell of a team, man. They were a hell of a team for a lot of years. And I think they're back like that. I think they're back, like, for the long haul. I don't know. I mean, and I'm asking you guys. This is just my reaction, and maybe you say, Ant, it's afterglow, you're a little overboard, and that's fine. You can check me, man. That's cool. I love competency. I love someone that loves the game, that's imaginative, that's ahead of the curve. And I think Sirianni's all that. I think his coaching staff's really good. I think his, you know, all those guys in the room. Like, here's the other thing with Doug. His coaches were horrible, right? Like, the guys around him were bad. I look, you know, what's around Sirianni, and I go, I like these dudes. I love Brian Johnson from Florida. In fact, and I got a text message that is my witness. I think I even showed you, Tunis. But, you know, if you go back, rewind to last December, end of December, friend of mine, you can probably put two and two together, was, you know, getting some offers or getting some for an interview to be a head coach in the league. So, you know, he's busy working, And he's like, hey, man, give me some ideas for young OCs in college. And I threw Brian Johnson out there because I watched a lot of Florida and I liked Brian Johnson. And he was on a short list of guys that I thought could be an OC in the league. So I look at Sirianni's staff and I go, that's a good staff, man. It's got some bright football people around. And I just feel like we're in good hands. And look, say what you want, and I'll argue with you. Howie knows how to build a roster. He knows how to navigate the cap. Like all these moves coming around, I think they're smart moves. I liked his pickups of the free agents on defense. I like what he's doing with the cap. He's going to get out of cap hell. I feel good. Now, I don't know. I'm saying this whole, my opening diatribe, and I'll put a big fat question mark at the end of it, but these are it's exactly how I feel. And I'm curious if you guys see the same thing I see. Good morning, Junis.
What's up, man?
How are you, buddy?
Like, you went a little too far in one part.
Yeah, sure.
And it was the Super Bowl team. Because I thought that was a lovable group. And I did like the offense that year. And the staff was good because that was Frank Reich was still the OC.
I'm not saying they weren't lovable.
But even the offense was good that year. Frank Reich was a part of the staff.
That year was without a doubt.
I mean, they put up 50 points against the Broncos, 30-plus against the Panthers.
Well, you're right. I'm not arguing that. I just thought, you know, listen, the Super Bowl run was a little, it was just a little lucky. That's all. I mean, you know, listen.
Well, it was lightning in a bottle. We saw that.
I agree. Like, I'm not denigrating the Super Bowl team. I'm just saying what I think, and again, it's what I think. I mean, I could be wrong, and I could be in the afterglow. That's ease. I can go that route. What I think is they're back to the big long haul. And you know how I felt. And again, I like, and I still like Doug as a guy. But you know how I felt with him as a coach? I was, you know, lukewarm at best.
Oh, yeah. I was with you for this now year three, you and I together. So, yeah, I know that pretty well at this point.
I know we talked about it. And even, you know, Frank, a good coach. I mean, you know, without a doubt, he was a good part of that staff. But everybody else on that staff, I mean, come on.
Yeah, we found out more about Jim Schwartz as the years went on and all that kind of stuff. And Mike Groh and all those guys. Yeah, no, it was a mess.
I look at this staff. I think this is a good staff.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, there's a couple of guys on here, and I think sometimes we overreact before games even play, but I remember hearing guys, I think John Kincaid and Jamie were both saying it. They both expect Jonathan Gannon to be out of here in like 2 years and be a head coach somewhere.
Yeah, maybe.
And when they said that in like week 2 of the preseason, I remember being like, all right, guys, take it easy.
But I saw it week one.
He made those adjustments, and maybe he is that bright of a guy that he could be a head coach somewhere down the road. So, I mean, that's the making of a strong coaching staff is guys that could be picked away in a year or two to be head coaches somewhere else. So you're right. Like, I agree with everything you said. That was just the one thing. I was like, well, you know, the Super Bowl.
Yeah, believe me, I'm not. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I didn't mean to come across like, you know, obviously I think Frank Reich's a hell of a coach and a great mind. I was really talking about everybody other than him.
Right. But I mean, right now, I mean, we should be excited about this coaching staff. We should be excited about Nick Sirianni.
I'm just happy for the future. I feel like we have another, you know, crack at this thing for over the next, you know, decade type.
Yeah, I mean, you have a bright mind. And if you look at the roster, you and I talked about it before the season started. We went over the 53-man roster, and obviously the depth is a question mark with this team. But the starting 22, the biggest question mark was Jalen Hurts. After that, you felt pretty good, right? I'm not the biggest Seumalo guy, but I feel damn good about 4/5 of the offensive line. And when you feel good about 4/5 of your offensive line, and it's not like Seumalo totally stinks. I kind of think he does, but he gets helped out by having Jordan Mailata on one side and then an all-pro and Jason Kelce on the other side. So they can make up for some of his mistakes. Your wide receivers, you saw Devontae Smith he fits in the NFL. That didn't take long, right? It's not like we had to do the whole, well, let's see through 4 weeks. Like, no, you can just see right away that Devontae Smith belongs in the NFL. Quez Watkins' speed is elite. Can he do stuff one-on-one? Not sure, but if they have a coach that designs plays to get him in space or to get the ball in his hands, like you saw the first two plays of the game, right? Doug Peterson last year had John Hightower, who has elite speed. Watkins a little bit faster, but John Hightower's elite speed. They ran one play with him. It was run down the sideline and go, like, just go deep. They never did anything to get the ball in his hands in space. And you have a coach now that is doing things to work with the strengths of his team, to work with the strengths of his quarterback. We love that answer he gave that press conference last week. If I like it and Brian Johnson likes it and Shane Steichen likes it, but if Jalen Hurts doesn't like running that play, we aren't going to run it. Whereas last year, you dealt with RPOs all last season.
Well,
and Carson didn't. It didn't work.
A quarterback who's not good at running RPOs.
Right, exactly, which made no sense.
I mean, that's my whole point. Is and maybe I was shell shocked from last year. And listen, obviously, Wentz had all the physical tools, but not the mental makeup to be the elite quarterback. I mean, and I don't know, barring the you know, between the bad luck with injuries, some of it his own doing, some of his stubbornness. I mean, maybe that's what was going to preclude him from being a franchise quarterback, and he's just going to be that. And we'll look back on getting out of this contract as a blessing. I mean, that's a possibility. And then we, you know, we've gone through the whole coaching staff thing. Again, you know, Tunis, and I don't want to go overboard. I'm really trying not to go overboard, and I'm not saying division and all this other nonsense. I'm just feeling, like, good, confident.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, we've all been through, like, listen, we all know the score, right? Like, if you're paying attention to this stuff, you know it. Whether you're online right now to talk to us, or you're at home listening, or in your car listening, you know. If you watch this stuff like we do and pay attention, you know, coaches. Like, you know, go back to, you remember Eddie Jordan?
Yeah.
Right, well, I'll never forget, Eddie Jordan comes into the studio, and I sit there for 20 minutes. And after that 20 minutes, I went, this guy's a disaster. Complete disaster. Like, you know it. You can smell it. And we weren't, you know, that happened. You could tell who's got gravitas, who's got smarts, who's got intellect. We all knew that Brett Brown's greatest attribute was his emotional intelligence, right? He was not the greatest X and O man.
Emotional intelligence.
We said it a million times. Right, Doug was the same way. Doug was a reaction to Chip Kelly, who was, you know, had his, you know, X and O's, but didn't know the league, was a stubborn, you know, a-hole creep, and that was his undoing. But he had good concepts and good ideas. And then the reaction is to go overboard, and you get Doug, who's really, you know, somehow they had lightning in a bottle, and he's there patting everybody on the butt, and you go, I love Doug, and awesome. Then now you got the guy that I think has a lot of those good attributes, right? He's got the Chip Kelly concepts and ideas and imagination. He understands the league. He's got the Doug emotional intelligence.
He's loving on guys, yeah.
I mean, that's what it feels like to me. And that's my whole thesis today is I watched yesterday. I went to bed, or Sunday, I went to bed Sunday feeling the best I felt about this franchise, really, since Andy left. Dying to hear what you guys think. Oh, man, this is great. This is great to talk football, man. All right. Let's talk a little DraftKings football. Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner in the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week. Receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet at least $1 on any football game. DraftKings, safe, reliable, secure. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code FANATIC to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's code FANATIC this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. P Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
But joining us, he covers the Eagles for the Inquirer, Inquirer.com. Does a great job. Love talking football with him every week. Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Anthony.
I got to tell you, sometimes people completely exceed your expectations. And you know, we started to talk about this, I guess it was like a couple weeks ago, and I go, wow, I'm seeing some really cool things out of Sirianni, kind of getting to know him. I'm really liking what I see. Jeff, I mean, his game plan, his concepts, his play design, his play calling, I thought were spectacular on Sunday, and he played CEO. I thought it was an incredible performance by the coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's who I wrote about off the game.
Yeah.
I thought Nick really did a nice job with his game plan of putting his players in the best position to succeed, and most notably, Jalen Hurts. You know, he didn't have Jalen do things that maybe he wasn't completely comfortable in or what he doesn't excel at. And, you know, not that Jalen can't do those things eventually, but right now, obviously his fifth career start, why in the first game of the season, learning a new offense and playing, you know, an unknown team, with a new head coach, why kind of go in with that type of game plan? And, you know, it was refreshing to see. And, you know, yeah, you could point out some things that weren't perfect, but, Nick, as I said before, and I, you know, I extend this also to Jonathan Gannon.
Yes.
Put his players in the best position to succeed. And that's yes. all you can ask out of a head coach yes. and defensive coordinator.
Yes, yes. Oh, my God. I'm excited about that. You know what it is? It's like, all right, so we know, let's just take Miles Sanders. Like, he's not the best on a wheel route catching the ball. But if you just get the ball in front of me, easy throw, easy catch, and so he's in space, he's going to do that for you. Let's take Jalen, right? Let me do sprint outs. Let me get him some space where he can gather himself and make a throw and make a play. You know, that's all stuff to design, you know, for his ability, for what he does best. Hey, here's Devontae Smith. He's our best player. Let's get the ball in his hands. All right? Let's make him a primary target. That's so refreshing. Jeff?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, they have a number of receivers that should be able to excel with yards after the catch so that, you know, they play to those strengths. And I think Jalen's yards per attempt was 3.7, which is, you know, from the line of scrimmage, which was according to Next Gen Stats, which was lowest in the league. So it wasn't like he was throwing it down the field. He had some throws down the field, and he's going to have to do that in certain games because they're going to take this stuff away. But I think what was most impressive about those throws and about Jalen's performance is that, and Nick's, you know, his design for his offense is that he gives his quarterback options.
Yes.
And this is pre-snap. Like, you're looking at the defense. You got three receivers to your left. You got two defenders over there. Yeah, you're going to throw it over there, right? Those are easy chunk yards that you're getting. And you got them early with this Quez Watkins. He didn't design his game plan to open up with three straight passes to Quez Watkins. That's just the way the defense allowed them
yes.
to take it, right? A couple plays later, same formation. They did have three guys out there. Jalen just read the defensive end. Zone read keep, 13 yards. So this is, you know, in some ways it's kind of simple stuff, but you have to be able to think quickly and on your toes and be able to execute it. And that's what Jalen did. And that's what they've been practicing on. And that's what Nick has kind of brought here to this to this offense. And look, again, you know, I'm sure you said this too, and everyone else is saying this, and I'm sure Nick Sirianni's preaching this to the team. It's one game, right?
Yeah.
But it was a good debut against what probably could be one of the five worst teams in the league, maybe even the worst. But that being said, I mean, they took care of business. 32-6 is shellacking.
Yeah, and without a doubt, I mean, listen, all year I just kind of preach week by week and let me see growth. And, you know, I enter this whole thing sans expectations. But that said, it's, you know, like I'm looking at approach and mindset, and I just think I see Smart. You know, I like the staff. I think the staff, you mentioned Gannon, and obviously I like what I see. I see preparedness from these players. You know, they'll button up the penalty thing. I think very happy about the direction, the future. I mean, I look at this thing as the beginning, you could say, new chapter, new book in a series of books. And I think it's a new regime, new era. And I just think I like where it's headed. You could project down the line and go, you know, I think they could be a pretty good, you know, reset of this franchise.
Yeah, as I wrote, I mean, the franchise is in able hands. We don't know how great Nick's going to be. We don't know how he's going to adjust to when teams start countering him.
Sure.
You know, Chip Kelly had that issue. Obviously came in guns a-blazing as well, and Doug eventually, they caught up to him too. But right now, and look, I know early on people were really kind of concerned about Nick, and this is, he'd never been a head coach. He was a blank slate. No one really had any idea if he was going to step into this role.
Right.
And we were writing it, and you were talking about it, I'm sure, many times, you know, based upon what we were seeing at practice. And just seeing him out there on the field and the way he's relating to his players, and that he was not a guy that they were going to roll over. Yes, he's got a good relationship with them, and yeah, he's able to kind of love them up, but he's also able to instill discipline in them and call them out when needed. And just watching him and the way he approached his practices, there were a few questions I had about the length of the practices and about resting the starters, et cetera. But, you know, those, you know, seem right now, they look pretty good, and how that's played out as well. You know, they didn't look gassed at all. They looked fresh. Not many guys came out with, you know, soft tissue injuries. So we saw this throughout camp in the preseason. This is where this was going, that Nick was, he wasn't going to come in and get roll. You know, he wasn't going to come in and be a bad head coach. Now we know this guy knows what he's doing. The staff, it's young, but they know what they're doing. And then let's see how they keep building upon this, the successful start.
Yeah. Reminds me a lot of, he reminds me of Andy with his preparedness, organization, really heavy into X and O. You know, I mean, a lot of good concepts. That's why it excites me, because Andy had some good emotional intelligence with his players, but was stern, but also could relate to them. And he had obviously a high football intellect.
Yeah, I mean, it reminded me of the debuts for Doug Peterson and for Chip Kelly. I mean, you know, those
but
were guys.
But he's different, right? Doug, Doug had high marks with the emotional intelligence, but I still didn't like what he did as a strategist, X and O, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to call it. Chip, I thought, was very smart with football concepts, didn't know the league, and was not a good, you know, was not good personally in interaction.
Yeah, no. I'm saying just in terms of like the first game.
Oh, okay.
You know, like just how they came in. You know, like if you recall that game against the Browns, that was Carson's first career start.
Yeah,
they didn't really ask him to do a heck of a lot, and he executed the offense. They, you know, what they gave him to do, they rolled him out. They kept things tight, and then saw them build. You know, they build upon that. I mean, they went 3-0 to start 2016. I think people forget that, and they killed the Steelers, and then there were, you know, obviously some bad moments, and then same thing with Chip as well. My point is, like, you know, Nick's a professional coach. I mean, he came in and he had a good game plan, and that's what we saw out of Doug in 2017. That's what we saw out of Chip, obviously, in 2016 at parts, and 2013 at parts, 2014. Yeah, the question is whether he can be an Andy Reid who can, after early period of success, can come back and keep coming back.
Without a doubt.
Keep finding new ways to counter what the opposing defensive coordinators are doing to stop him. That's going to be the true test of whether Nick, how successful Nick can be. And that'll happen this season as well.
Yep. No, it's a great point. Jeff McClain with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Don't forget, Comcast Business Everyday Business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. Follow Jeff on Twitter and make sure you read him, Inquire.com, Inquire. Jeff, so when you look at kind of this team takeaway-wise now against the Niners, what's your feeling approach-wise heading into this game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the Niners team clearly is more like the 2019 version than the 2021, which was one of the probably the most injured team, even more than the Eagles last season.
Yeah,
certainly you didn't have the quarterback play, and Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy, and you have Trey Lance kind of as a wild card. They're going to play here and there. Certainly, you know, that Kyle Shanahan offense is, you know, built around the run and the play action, and that's going to be a test. And those two lines that they have in San Francisco up front versus the Eagles, that's going to be a war. I mean, you have two of the better units on both sides of the ball in the league. So I think that's, you know, again, to drop another cliche, that's where it's going to be won and lost. But they're going to have to open up the offense a little more because of that. I mean, you know, there's going to have to be more shot plays down the field.
Well, that's going to be the test of Jalen. I mean, you know, we all saw the Ertz throw, and, you know, to get Jalen to be effective down the field, he's got to have time to gather. He's a leg thrower, so he's got to have time to gather himself to be able to make that throw, and he's got to have some space to do that.
Yeah, and it's got to be, like, I think when it's kind of a deep drop and he has to stop and survey it and kind of step into that throw, it's a little more zing it over the middle. It's a little more difficult for him than the fade route, which is that he's got very nice touch.
Yeah, he does.
Deep balls, actually.
Yeah.
As we saw on the throw to Devontae, not as much on the Ertz one. He underthrew him a little bit, but, you know, he got the ball there, so I can't kill him for that. But those aren't his best front throws. You're not going to be running a lot of those four verticals and him dropping seven steps and surveying the field. I don't think that's playing to his strength. Maybe eventually he can do that, but right now I wouldn't do that. But that being said, there are opportunities to kind of move the ball downfield and play to Jalen's strengths in terms of how he throws that fade route.
All right, I know you got to roll. Anything pressing, like, we got to know? You know, anything you got going that you hear that we got to know? For, I mean, injury-wise, pretty unscathed.
Oh, injury-wise? I mean, they came out pretty healthy. I mean, I updated us. FC's got the Marcus Epps has got the concussion. I don't know if he'll be ready or not. I mean, he got banged up pretty good in that game. Ertz, I think he's fine with the hamstring. They said they were still evaluating yesterday, but I think he finished the game or most of it.
All right, last thing. I know you got to roll. But the deal with the contract, anything coming? They're freeing up $11 million in cap room, a Goddard extension, anything?
I think they wanted to give themselves some ability to, you know, some leeway to extend guys if they have to. Obviously, they extended Jordan Mailata. But, you know, you're also looking ahead to next offseason. And with Fletcher, you know, it wasn't really a big deal at this point just to kind of convert that to a signing to a roster bonus. They did it all offseason. They did the lane. They've done it for several other contracts. So I don't think it's a huge deal. But, yeah, it definitely gives them the ability to extend guys. And as we've seen around the NFL, a lot of teams are doing that, so I wouldn't rule out, you know, like you said, Josh Sweat, Dallas Goedert. You know, who knows? Maybe even Zach Ertz, if we see this play out a certain way over the next few weeks. But I certainly think Goddard was more likely a chance to be here than Zach Ertz. But those would be guys I'd focus on possibly getting extensions.
Jeff, great stuff, brother. Thank you, man. Always appreciate you, man. Thanks. Great work. There he is, Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.